Take two, action. Yeah, no, literally, I was about a minute and a half into the introduction and just kind of hit a brick wall. So decided to do a reset. Plus now the cat in my lap is much calmer. Earlier she was all over. Anyways, I hope everyone had a happy Thanksgiving, or at least had a nice week. And if Thanksgiving isn't your thing, we had a pretty decent one. Didn't do a lot of shopping like most people. Times are tight, but we did get a few things that we needed for the house on pretty good sale. And then I got two movies. I bought physical media, putting my money where my mouth is. I got 4K ultra high def Blu-rays of T2 Judgment Day and Jurassic Park. Trying to buy movies that I didn't get on Blu-ray that I had on DVD, or movies that I really feel are going to look really good in 4K, because that wonderful thing about film versus digital video, film is essentially infinitely scalable at full quality without any type of, you know, artifacts and pixelation generally. Anyways, guys, let's get this show started. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Daily Cup of Genre here on the Genreverse YouTube channel and Genreverse Podcast Network, available on all of your favorite podcast apps. Subscribe to the YouTube channel, because there's all sorts of great things in addition to the podcast, like Daily Cog and Breaking Geek. You get anime reactions, trailer reactions, a whole lot more movies, movie reviews, and all sorts of great stuff. Even the occasional interview, usually from Jonesy over on Breaking Geek. All of the podcast apps, like I said, get us essentially, and you can find us there and listen on the go. There is a merch link in the description box. Be sure to check that out. Support the channel, support your favorite podcast, get a cute anime girl on your shirt, mug, notebook, all sorts of stuff. It's Redbubble, come on now. And of course, LRMonline.com for all written news, reviews, celebrity interviews, and more. And we'll go around LRM. Whoa, in a minute. Let's get back to the base screen. I did a little upgrading of the back wall there. You guys can't see everything, but the bookshelf that used to be over there is now under what I call my shelf of horrors, and my Ghostbusters stuff got to expand a little bit. Thinking about this front wall that no one ever sees, maybe finally putting up some I Love Me stuff, maybe some of my like Army awards and my college degrees and stuff like that. Let me throw that out there. College degrees. I got an associate's and a bachelor's. I got the associate's in half, like on the way to the bachelor's. Mostly did it. Took the couple of extra classes so I could get promotion points in the Army. So I was like, hey, you know, if you have a degree, it matters more than just credit hours. So, anyways, I might do that. Have some geeky stuff, but I want more on the back. And hopefully, after the new year, I can redo the back wall in a more permanent setting. But hey, it's festive. Yeah, Thanksgiving was fine. Like I said. It was we'll get to the box office aspect of it, but there was actually quite a bit of news, and there's the around LRM moment as I write down timestamps. It is a Monday, guys. I'll get there, I promise. We have everything you can imagine in entertainment news. We cover hoity-toity movies. There's celebrity interviews from the LRM YouTube channel, comic books, tabletop gaming, you name it, we cover it. And a couple of stories over the holiday weekend that we have on here, I wanted to discuss. One of those being a rumor for Fantastic Four villain. Man, that is super bright. Me, there we go. All right, Anya Taylor-Joy potentially playing a villain. This is a rumor that Daniel RPK he's got a pretty healthy leak history, rumor history, whatever you scoop. There's the word. It's pretty extensive. They're saying, hey, we got this thing, Anya Taylor-Joy playing a villain. rub that with Jeff Snyder, also again, scooper, Hollywood insider guy, who had said that the Herald would be female, and that it immediately made everyone imagine Silver Surfer being female and potentially Anya Taylor-Joy now being that character. There have been other heralds from Galactus, and some have been female in the past. Cam does discuss names and stuff like that in here. I think Marvel needs to play more things safe. They've already doubled down and tripled down on certain things that fans weren't happy with, and I think making the Silver Surfer female would that would almost certainly doom the Fantastic Four film before a frame was shot. And I'm not saying that for me. Don't get me wrong. I don't care about the MCU right now. But like I said, they've already done things that have upset the audiences, and I'm not talking just on any gender or race stuff. We recently had the Sentry casting being revealed. Lin Yun Yin. I'm sure I'm messing up the name, and I apologize. But they've been cast for Sentry. They're Asian in the comic books. What is his name? Robert Reynolds, if I'm not mistaken. Bob Reynolds, is it? I know Reynolds is the last name. He's a blonde-haired white dude. He was supposed to be the beyond the embodiment of Superman, and there was this, anyways, completely different casting. I'm not getting at that type of thing. Just people not happy with everything in story, everything in delivery, and of course things in casting, not one in particular. So audiences aren't very trusting of the quality. A lot of audience aren't happy about certain decisions, and this is one where I think they really need to play it safe. I've said that about the Fantastic Four movie for months, maybe over a year. Like, this is one where you really don't want to mess around with the cast. You want this to, whether you like it or not, business-wise, you want this to look like the Fantastic Four that everyone knows from the comics. It's Marvel's first family. That might not jive well with modern sentiment, but that would have been and should be the best business sense, or should be what they still have a chance to do it. The casting stuff is still up in the air for a lot of these characters. And hell, there's a rumor this morning that Cillian Murphy might be Doom himself. So I don't think she might be a herald. She might be a different character. I think doing Norn Rad, yes, you can. But I don't think that's smart business right now. I really, really don't. So we'll leave that at that. I'm sure I've managed to piss off some people, but hey, gotta do what you gotta do. The other one that I wanted to talk about a bit, I'm gonna add a timestamp here real fast, so that way it's easier for you guys to navigate this stuff. But the other one that I wanted to discuss was Dave Filoni. This is not a rumor. He was promoted to chief creative officer over at Lucasfilm. A lot of people took this as, oh my God, the greatest thing since sliced freaking bread. And I'm just sitting here thinking, oh my God, Ahsoka, Mando season 4, Book of Boba Fett. I know Robert Rodriguez was the big guy behind that, but these are all part of Filoni's, you know, Mandoverse, him and Favreau. And I'm not necessarily the most hyped on Dave Filoni, or Jon Favreau for that matter, these days. So Filoni getting this promotion, what's her name? Kathleen Kennedy sticking around. You hear that again, guys? Kathleen Kennedy sticking around. Deal with it. I'm not a fan of it. Don't take me saying it's a thing as me liking it. That's just the way it is. That lady is so connected in Hollywood. She's only going to leave of her own volition when she wants to, probably at the end of this current contract, which I think is 2024. Yeah. Anyways. So now you got Filoni quoted in Vanity Fair. Now I'm what's called Chief Creative Officer of Lucasfilm. In the past, in a lot of projects I would be brought into, I would see it after it had already been developed a good ways. It's placing him into the development process much earlier. He says, in this new role, it's opened up to basically everything that's going on when we're planning the future of what we're doing now. I'm involved at the inception phase. He goes on to talk about how he's not telling people what to do. You can find these articles again, lrmonline.com. It's what the job entails. I mean, CCO is Chief Creative Officer, something that exists in a lot of companies, and it's one of those things people have kind of wanted him to do, and like he says, he was kind of already doing, but later in the process, this is like giving him partial Kevin Feige-ness, where Feige was involved in the inception of the MCU projects while also running the studio. This is a bit of division of labor, almost kind of like DC doing the co-CEOs with Gunn and Safran. You have a business side and then you have a creative side, allegedly. That's been the idea intent. I'm, you know, whatever. I don't care. I'm not going to watch Skeleton Crew. I don't even think Filoni's a big name on that one at all. Maybe, maybe not. I have no interest in seeing that. I don't care for Mando season 4 after season 3. I think it's ridiculous that they're pinning their film hopes on Rey. She's still apparently getting the next film, and I don't think she's as popular yet. You got the sequel fans will do to prequel fans what prequel fans did to OT fans in the future. Trust me, it'll happen. But I don't think Rey's the draw that they think she is. Again, business wise, you look at the past and the future should look different, and it's not. So we'll see. I've been right about a lot of things Disney's done wrong, things on streaming, and I'm not like happy all the time when I'm right about these things. It's just the way it is. So we'll see if I'm right on this. I did not mean to click on that ad. Anyways, carrying on, box office weekend. It was a weekend, brought in over $100 million, at least Hunger Games, having a respectable, very respectable, actually an amazing drop of only 35%. We've seen several movies over the last couple of years have these, a couple of horror films, the occasional family film. This is a relatively big box office getting a really good, drop. Like I said, to see things getting 60% drops these days for blockbusters is not the death sentence it was. The problem for Hunger Games is its initial draw wasn't all that great. Yes, it was better than some, but you know, 40 some odd million dollars in your opening weekend is not exactly what you were hoping for. But hey, they brought in an extra $28 million. I think I got my math a little bit wrong. What was their original opening weekend now? It wasn't super high. Oh, I was right. I'm not thinking about the weekend versus the the whole holiday weekend. So I'm good. We're good. They brought in 44. I was right. I'm always right. No. The Marvels had another, you know, drop down from placement from fourth to sixth, then its third weekend. 37% drop, but guys, I mean, it's been so rough for that movie. People just don't care to see it. They just don't, not even word of mouth. You know, word of mouth is what gave Hunger Games that really good drop. Word of mouth isn't helping the Marvels either. People aren't trusting the word of mouth, or the word of mouth is not as positive as it seems on X, formerly known as Twitter, or other social media. It's going to lose a lot of money. It's going to lose a lot of money. Might end its domestic run somewhere in around $133 million, according to projections by thenumbers.com. What does this mean? I mean, not just for Marvel, although what does it mean for Marvel? What do they do going forward? They've already had so many teases and characters and story threads that go nowhere teased in all these movies and shows since the end of the Infinity Saga. And they're teasing Young Avengers. Like, at some point, some of these have to start, you know, paying off. And you can jettison a few, sure, but can't jettison them all. You know, the whole point of the MCU is this connected, interwoven story. And man, they're just messing that up. But also, what does it mean for the future of the box office this year? You know, one thing that I've liked to talk about is my predictions for what the annual will be. And back on September 25th, I had an image. Is my image still right here? No. Back on September 25th, I had actually looked at the long-range projections from the numbers on what they thought the box office would be. As you can see right now, they're estimating about a $9.2 billion domestic box office. We are currently sitting at 8.1, so they're expecting another $1.1 billion between now and the end of the year, compared to 2022's 7.4. So again, predictions for 2023, 9.2. I had actually, back on that December 25th, and you can see I took a screenshot. Hopefully it's up. Let me get my OBS back on screen so I can monitor that as getting the image. They had actually projected out 9.6. So they're adjusting. It's lowering. And in this video, and hopefully I'll remember to put the link down below, but in this video on September 25th, we have a deal, WGA strike update and very sad box office. For those of you listening on your favorite podcast app, I said, I think it would end up being between 8.5 and 9. I didn't know if they could make 9.96. 9.2? Maybe. Maybe. But what gets them there? We've got two more big movies to hit this year. Wonka, which is in December, and Aquaman 2, which is also in December. And I hate to tell you guys this, but Aquaman 2, not looking so hot. Well, you can't see anything on the screen because super dark mode. Anyways, Aquaman and the Lost Kingdom. This comes from boxofficepro.com. Opening weekend range, $32 to $42 million with only a domestic total of $105 to $168 million. Why? Why? I mean, where's all the hate, you know, for this one? Is this one woke? Is this one changing things? Is the, like, what is, no, I, it's fatigue, man. I keep telling you guys that DC has, like, what was the excuse for Black Adam? What was the excuse for the Flash? Okay. Maybe Miller. Okay. Sure. What was the excuse for Shazam, Fury of the Gods? What's going to be the excuse for this? It's dud after dud after dud because people are fed up with either things not mattering, the Flash, or bad stories, bad content on Disney Plus and streaming that waters things down. Whether you like it or not, comic book movie fatigue has finally hit. It's not just fatigue because of too many. It's fatigue from too many mediocre ones, and people don't trust the brands right now. I think the number one thing some of you guys might be yelling, hopefully you've kept listening so you didn't just jump to the comments. Of course, Aquaman is facing the idea that it doesn't matter. The Flash set some things up, but we also know that Momoa wants to be Lobo, and there's rumors that has... that will potentially happen, but people don't care. And then there's Amber Heard, which really hasn't been part of any of the marketing, and we know has had, or we've been told has had, a lot of her content cut. People just don't care. They don't. And I wonder what the future, because, you know, there's all these DC projects in the works, not just Marvel, but DC projects in the work. What happens in 2025 if Superman Legacy bombs? Think about it. I don't know that it does well. I really don't. What if it bombs? What does that mean? Is that the death of it? Do they stop everything else? Do they just slash budgets? Like, that I think is the real test for comic book movies. A fresh start with, and Blue Beetle is another one that didn't do so hot. A fresh start for the DCU. If that doesn't work, man, I think you look at everyone, including Disney with Marvel, scaling this whole operation back dramatically. And they'll go into more toys and game adaptations. So, yeah, right now I'm going to say that I am closer to $9 billion for the yearly box office. A total of $9 billion is where I think I'm going to settle in at. We're sitting at, what was it, 8-1, 5 weeks left in the year, guys. It's going to be a rough one. It's better than last year. One last thing before I close this out, though, an interesting thing to look at here. I like this. If you go to the, theater market tab under box office, theatrical market here on the numbers, you get this nice chart that shows you, how well profits, or not profits, but revenue from box office has generally gone up over years. Actual tickets sold have been going down since 2005-ish, 2004, 2005. Ticket sales steadily going down. It's not just more expensive movies in general. It's also a lot more... there's a lot less seats out there as people have gone to the premium seating for a lot of theaters and recliners and premium experiences. There's a lot less seats. And yes, even regular movie theaters, still your standard screening rooms are more expensive. It's that more people are paying premium for premium theater experiences. So that's a big deal there. Thank you guys so much. Sorry, a bit long-winded of an episode. I usually like to try to keep these under 20 minutes. So hit the subscribe button. Check out all the great content here on the YouTube channel. If you're listening on your favorite podcast app, please give us a follow, rate us, thumbs up, leave a comment. If you can, get the merch at our Redbubble link in the description box below. And of course, LRMonline.com. Every day, all entertainment news, needs, opinions, the stories that we talked about today, and more. I've been Kyle, and I'll see you guys next time.